Good morning. Take a look at Psalm 78 this morning. Psalm 78, we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 11, but we'll be referencing most of the psalm, so I'm open there today. Psalm 78, I'm going to read verses 9 through 11. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works, his wonders that he had shown them. Amen. Who here has ever forgotten something? Daniel, you've never forgotten anything? Okay, you have. Of course, we all have. Forgetting is a real thing, isn't it? We're all pretty familiar with it. It's a reality that occurs more probably as we age, and it's certainly a product of the fall. We are not operating perfectly. It's just a reality of these bodies that we walk in, of these minds that miss things. But even when we're young and vibrant, we forget things, don't we? We forget things that are not important to us, right? That when something we don't prioritize, sometimes we'll forget it. We forget things when we're out of our comfort zone, or maybe something is new and different. We forget the details. We forget things when we're not intentionally paying attention. When we're not readied or practiced or thoughtful about something, we will forget. We forget things that we take for granted, that in life that have just become normative. Has anyone ever forgotten their wallet? I do that often. But perhaps the one that entails all of these reasons and is the most significant, I think, for us as Christians today is that we forget when we are distracted or overwhelmed by other things. So that our focus is not upon that which is at hand, but it's upon something else, and we forget. That's what forgetting is. There's something we know we must do. It's actually, we know it's a good thing to do. It's something we might even love and enjoy to do, but there's so much else going on in life. Sometimes even important things get pushed aside and forgotten. Sometimes it's by the tyranny of the urgent, maybe the perpetual nagging of the to-do list, or that unplanned and unexpected crisis. And we know it's bad to forget things. We know, actually, forgetting can be damaging. It's costly. It's unloving. It can be offensive and hurtful. We would all love to stop forgetting, wouldn't we? Even so, it seems in our culture today, sometimes we'll say, like, oh, sorry, I forgot. And it's almost said as an excuse. Kind of like, hey, I forgot, I'm only a human, what do you expect? It just happens, right? No big deal. But when you forget about the lunch meeting you had set up with somebody, or when you forget that work assignment, or that chore, or when you forget your anniversary, the message you are communicating is loud and clear. And said very directly, you are saying you're not important enough to remember. And so we should be humbled when we forget. Noah Webster, you might remember him, 1828, finally finished his decade-long description of words. He described forgetting in just two ways. Firstly, he said forgetting is to lose something. It's to lose the remembrance of something. You had it, but you lost it. You let it go. This is kind of what we see in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. This is just one reason that we encourage daily reading of the scriptures. and scripture memory, because we are so prone to lose remembrance. Webster secondly said that forgetting can be to neglect or to slight someone or something. Like Isaiah 49 says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, but I will not forget you, Lord." And so it seems both of these together is what we're seeing in Psalm 78. Knowing that we are vulnerable to forget even things precious to us, we must think and live rightly by faith, by trusting in God, by leaning and relying upon Him in this redeemed life that we now live. With wisdom. From where? From above. Walking how? By the Spirit. And according to what? His truth. First foremost, we must know what is important, what is preeminent, what is most significant in your life. And this is really our text today. We cannot be like the children of Ephraim, who forgot God, and that we see effectively rendered them useless. Look at verse 9. "Although armed, equipped, and trained, they turned back in the day of battle." Similarly, we have been given life. We've been given an inheritance that's incorruptible. We've been given adoption as sons and daughters of the King. We've been forgiven. We've been given eternal life. We've been given exceedingly great and precious promises. You could say we are loaded with spiritual armor and weaponry. And our conquering King has already gone before us and won this battle. We, though, are the ones He has placed out there on the battlefield. And we cannot turn back. We must engage. We must press forward. We must remember our God. We must remember who He is, all He's done, what He's doing now, and what He will do, and what He's promised. One very important way we fight as Christians is that we remember the works of our God. We remember. Ephraim did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His law, and they forgot His works and the wonders He had shown them. We must not forget. We must remember our God. We must remember His great works, for we are forgetful people. Because if we forget our God, if we are distracted and consumed by the winds and waves of this life, we will miss the greatest thing we have in this life. You know what that is? The greatest thing we have in this life. It's not what we do, actually. It's not what other people out there are doing. It's not what the nations are doing. It's not what the false gods of the land are doing. The greatest thing we have in this life is what our God does today. These wondrous works of our God is what we cherish as the people of God. This is the very gospel and why we're here today, isn't it? Right now, you're not shopping at Walmart. Why are you sitting in here? It's because of the great works of your God that He's brought you here. He has you here. You are worshiping the King. So we must enter into remembering. Psalm 78 tells us there is a way to not forget. Did you know that? It comes by believing and then acting in faith and intentionally giving of yourself in that belief, holding tightly to it and not letting anything get in its way, believing in the promises of God that He says who He says He is. And it's out of this hope, this trust, this belief in God that we can be faithful to God. But note that we must be faithful to God first before we can ever be faithful to anything else. You want to be faithful maybe to your work or your clients, your employer? Amen. You maybe want to be a good citizen and faithfully obey the law of the civil magistrate in the land so you don't end up in prison? Amen. But foremost, we must be faithful and remember our God. We must remember the works of our God. The psalmist here tells us, hear the works of God, and in verse 4, do not hide them from your children. Have you ever found that to be an interesting statement? Well, of course I'm not going to hide any good things from my children. I'm not going to hide the good works of God from my children. Why would I do that? Well, we know that something is hidden or forgotten when something else is in the way, right? I can't see it right now, but I know there's a tree behind that wall. We must remove the natural and spiritual barriers that can block or hide us telling the generations about the works of our God. We must actively and deliberately share over and over again the strength and wonderful works He has done. The point is, it takes faith, it takes effort to not forget our God. Look how the psalm instructs us in verse 5. For He established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should not make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. Do you see that critical connection? We believe in God, so we declare His truth, and we tell our families of the hope in God and not forget His works. It's hope. Hope is how we do not forget. You will not forget His works if you hope in God. But if you lose sight of the hope of Christ, very likely you will forget and you'll replace that hope with something else. We must set our hearts aright and turn our faces to God, setting our sights upon Him continually so that we remember and do not forget. A very simple, practical thing we do in our home every day is that each of us shares at least one thing we're thankful for every day. It's small, it's minor, but you know what reminds us that God is good? It reminds us that even on the hard days, He is there, He is with us, He is active and reigning and ruling and involved and very close to us. And it causes us to think on Him, to remember how He's loaded us up with spiritual readiness, with incredible promises. And we can say to our soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now, as we come to our time of confession today, let us actively think. Let that sink down to our hearts about forgetting, remembering our God. We should be humbled by the times when we forget and when we're not engaged in remembering, because it takes faith and effort. May we never be faithless to our God. May we never put other things of this life in the way so that we forget the works of our God. May we never grow so lacking in remembrance of the promises of God that we start to believe and listen to the lies or get overwhelmed by the trial. May we never forget His works. May we confess this to our God now.
Faith, the hope, the boldness, the laying down of our lives, so that we can, each of us, do that wherever You send us. You send us into these little corners, as it were, of Your kingdom sometimes. And maybe sometimes into the darkest places, and You send us there to be light. And so we thank You for that and look forward to that opportunity. Oh Lord, we do pray that we would not think too low of You. We would not think too high of ourselves. And we'd help one another in that. We need to help one another and spur one another on to right thinking and right faith and a right heart in that way. To see you rightly, to see ourselves rightly before a holy, holy God. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for your kingship. We thank you for the Christ-centeredness of everything we do and that you've made possible in our lives. We give you all the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen.